Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dangerous World Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dean, and we are staying up late here to get this episode out on time. Hopefully, sending you on your way to work on Monday a little easier, I hope. We got a great guest on here. I don't know how we got the guy on. Brandon Peacock is joining the show, the old co-host, the liberal that some of you hate and some of you love, but you got to listen. You got to listen to opinions that you don't agree with. And we kind of did like a year recap. We didn't get into every single event that went down in 2021 because, I mean, how could you possibly do that in this time frame? But we did a little bit of that. We talked about some of our ideas after kind of being exposed to this world and where we sit now as opposed to where we sit when we started the whole thing. He talks about his life a little bit, which is interesting. You know, he's you know, sticking with his ideals, but he definitely has learned some things, as have I. You know, I admit that I shouldn't have supported Trump as gung-ho as I did. I kind of feel foolish for doing so. It seems like he's kind of walking back a little bit on some of his beliefs. I'll let you listen to find out which ones. But yeah, guys, always fun to have him on, and he'll be on more often. So I hope that you guys will enjoy that. I think that it's great. I think that it's great for the country to talk to people that you don't agree with and to listen to their ideas. Some people get mad when you say that we should listen to liberal ideology a little bit. We don't have to listen to it as far as like follow it. We can hear it though, right? I mean, this is kind of what makes the United States great, is that you don't get your head cut off if you disagree with the party in power for right now. So fun episode. And then for the Patreon subscribers, only $3 over there at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. If you are a subscriber over there, if you follow me, or if you just want to sign up, it's very easy, and you can listen to the full versions of every episode the same way you're hearing me right now. I can teach you how to do that, or you can Google it. Very easy to do. You just plug in our private RSS feed that you get from Patreon right into your podcatcher, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, Podbean, any of them. I think Anchor does it as well. All of them do it. You just plug it in and boom, you're ready to go. It's kind of like a cool exclusive pass. I did that with all my favorite podcasts. So, or I should say the Patreons that I subscribe to. But guys, do me a favor. Go over there. It's $3. You're not going to miss that $3. It's $3 a month. Okay. I piss $3 a month and I'm fucking broke. You can do it. Okay. But anyway, fun stuff. I talked with Jason. You may know him as Colorado Dank. And we meant to talk about this Denver football player, this Demaryius Thompson. He died very recently here, 33 years old. Lots and lots of symbolism, some Obama entanglements, we can say. Very, very interesting stuff. But we meant to talk about only that, but we got into some Krampus stuff, which him and I may or may not be talking about more in the future here. But you'll get some great, great information. And he was nice and faded, which I always enjoy talking to fellow drunk conspiracy theorists. It is a once in a lifetime thing, even though it happens all the time. But the information you get out of someone when they're drunk is mind blowing. Sometimes it's gold always to me. This is the kind of shit that, like, if I didn't have a podcast, I would still be talking to people that were drunk about conspiracies. So fun Patreon portion as well. So guys, do me a favor, head on over there, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Long plug for that. Let's get to this Brandon episode, guys. I can't forget to tell you to check out manscaped.com, keeping that plug short. Just go to manscaped.com. Promo code is danger. I'm fucking tired. Otherwise, I would plug them more. I'm going to absolutely do one of those fun old school ads on the next episode. Probably while Jason's live, we'll do like a live ad read for him. And we'll goof around. Maybe him and I will rap back and forth about shaving your balls. But Manscaped's great. They help this podcast out. They help a lot of podcasts out. Manscaped.com, promo code danger, guys, for all your shaving needs. Get the gift for Christmas for the balls that you care about most, okay? Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode with the old co-host, the old liberal Brandon. Fun stuff. And then if you're cool, you'll hear from Colorado Dank as well, guys. Take care. Stay safe. Have fun. We're doing our thing over here always. Going to roll out this year strong, man. Going to fucking put out some bangers. You guys are going to enjoy it. So enjoy this episode, and you will hear from me in just a couple of days after I talk with these two assholes. Take care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how we got this guest. It was, reaching out to this guy for so long, and here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Peacock.
Yeah, I finally had to, because you just keep knocking on my door, man. My inbox is filled with you and Manscaped stuff, and that's pretty much been it. So I figured I had to come. No, dude, seriously, for real, it's great to be here. It's great to be related to a famous person still, you know.
Oh.
And, and I've been keeping up on a little bit of the stream, and it's been great listening to you as you've been gone, man. And it's been pretty chill over here too. So.
Well, dude, so what's been new with you since you left? Because some people think that, like, we had a falling out and I kicked you off, even though we made that pretty clear. You know what I mean? We made it very clear that you had some arrangements that made it so that you were just going to be stretching yourself a little too thin if you were continuing to do the podcast, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, you know, not only researching for a show twice a week, but editing, keeping up with all the like admin stuff. So now that, I mean, like, so why don't you clear that up? Why don't you talk about like what made you get out of here?
Well, I'm excited to hear that it was somewhat of a story, because that means people were talking about me other than my family. So that's, and over Thanksgiving, that wasn't a good thing to hear. Now, I'm just kidding. No, I'm a guy who, like, dedicates a lot of time. Like, I spend I'm a serious dad at this point. Like, I spend the majority of my time taking after my fur babies, my real baby, and, you know, with Tristan, who's 19 now. And then just like doing basic stuff around the house, man. So, as I had even talked about while I was on the podcasts, like, you were the furnace of ambition on this project. And I had a master's degree to start up, got it all lined up. It's been great. The GI Bill has been helping. Another strong fist in the air for government power. That thing has been a real helping hand.
And we're already starting this. Okay. I see where this is going to go.
Yeah. But with the master's degree, like, I just had to spend my time on that and couldn't call myself a partner on this. If I wasn't going to go, you know, not even the 50% that I thought I was going at the time. I was happy to be on board, lucky to be learning about the AV stuff that went along with producing the podcast. So no, we haven't, like, you and I haven't spoken, hardly at all since we broke up, but that's not a function of there being some falling out any more than there was before we started the project. It was just, we're just doing shit, man. Like, it's hard for me to get over to your families, who is mostly my families for the holidays anyways, because I got a new family here, ever since moving back from Hawaii. And it takes a lot of effort to just do the daily grind at a house, live up to my girlfriend's stringent cleaning schedule. You know, yeah. I got a Mexican girlfriend, and a lot of stereotypes come through in this relationship. So I could be a pretty good, like, Holiday Inn cleaner at this point, you know, like, not have to think about it. 'Cause I've that and the Navy made me a really good cleaner, you know.
But, dude, Mexicans are either filthy, dirty, or spotless clean. And most of them that I have met are spotless clean. My house is a pigsty compared to most Mexicans I know.
I feel you. I know, you're good, man. You've got some, you've got the Mexican in you, in there in certain ways. I see it, in a glint in your eyes every now and then, especially grandma's influence. And if no one knows, grandma is the most Latina, person in our lives, I think,
At this point. Barely understand what she says when she speaks, honestly.
But. Yeah, it's pretty bad Spanglish. My girlfriend, she's a teacher too, and she can hardly muddle through the English language with her Spanglish, and she's fine with it. We talk about it openly and joke about it, but it's just funny how the mind will change after you got two languages in there for a long ass time, and they've all just mumbled up together. But if there was a sense out there that it was some falling out, maybe we should have talked about it more on the last episode, but no, we were, I just had my master's degree and you were still steaming ahead with this thing. So I said, take the reins, and you picked up the audio stuff. No problem. And we went that way, man.
Yeah. It would have been shitty for the listeners to just quit or take a hiatus. So I figured, like, let's just keep rolling with it. And you were doing half the work, dude. Like, obviously we're not just going to be talking about this stuff the whole time. We want to get into a year in review kind of a thing and talk about, you know, the way that our minds may have changed, how the narratives that we hold in our heads may have shifted a little bit, or just what we think, things that we may have been right about or may have been wrong about, seeing things as far as not only like politically speaking, but like the world as a whole. It seems like you and I see pretty like very, very opposite sides of the coin. So it's cool to not only learn the stuff that you taught me about the show, and you were doing half the work, honestly. I kind of thought in the beginning, I was like, damn, dude, I'm doing a lot of shit. I'm researching a lot. And then when I start editing the stuff, I'm like, holy shit, this is kind of a pain in the ass. And like, you know, it is an interesting thing. So anyone that, you know, didn't respect your opinion on the show, that was a listener or whatever, they just have to kind of realize like this show wouldn't be a thing without your involvement, especially early on. You know what I mean? So so everyone owes you some kind of thanks, even if they hate your opinion. Or whatever, you know, there's people out there that absolutely would hate my opinion and think that I'm too annoying or too loud or whatever. But let's get into some of this stuff, dude, because this year was, you know, we thought coming off the year 2020, we thought that 2021 might be calm after Biden gets in, after business gets back to normal, or so they say. And 6 days in, we get some crazy shit on January 6th, 2021, right? We get some weird stuff going down. Has your idea of what that was changed at all? Have you, I just want to get your idea of what January 6th is now. I don't know if you've dug into that much.
Well, yeah, because it's also the most pressing thing on liberal mainstream media's minds. You can tell because still. Almost nothing. Yeah, there's a little bit of a hiatus on that, but with the creation of the January 6th committee, mm-hmm. A whole bunch of stuff that I would have liked to see a lot more coverage on CNN and MSNBC were covered up by a lot of editorial pieces on the findings, or so-called findings, and maybe they're even guessing just at subsequent findings. There's an entire 30 minutes just guessing at what could come next from the findings of the January 6th committee. I really am surprised, and my sort of stepfather, or excuse me, father-in-law brought it up to me the other day that like there hasn't been a whole bunch of coverage of the Hawaii oil spill. You know, that would have been chomping. That would have been red meat for blue media, but it just kind of goes by the wayside. I did have to look up on CNN before this episode here, just to make sure that CNN did cover it in some way. And it's more about the litigation of the whole event. But so anyways, January 6th is still at top of mind in mainstream media, which you guys know I at least listen to on both sides too. And the stance that I had with our last episode with Sam Tripoli was, you know, I will admit some of the messages leading up to the 6th, the hashtag storm the Capitol, and then some of the participants of January 6th itself could have been some plants, some FBI, whatever, CIA, all the all the letters of the alphabet you can stuff in there. And yeah. It could have been then. I have not seen, I have the evidence that I have seen for there actually have been, you know, for the fact that there were plants, for the fact that it wasn't FBI or CIA, or like I said, that alphabet of groups, that it had that influence. I have not seen that quite yet, but the way that the narrative is being written around it is a little bit, it does raise red flags in my mind, even though you guys know I'm almost as blue as can be here.
Yeah.
Because you realize they're not exactly going right after Trump, right? There's some of the New York Attorney General's lawsuits that are focusing a bit on that, but overall they're not going after Trump himself. They're going after those closest to him, people who can build a better narrative about what was going on the 6th. And
not only Trump, Brandon, but they're not going after like Steve Bannon, Alex Jones is scot free. Who's the other dude? Fucking the guy that you liked out of all of them. Roger Stone.
Roger Stone. Yeah. Yeah. So they're not going after Trump, but they're going after all of his associates.
But right? Not those guys that I mentioned. You know what I mean? They're not going after these high level people, it seems.
Well, I wonder how that narrative gets shaped in your mind, because what I see in the last month or so is Steve Bannon getting held in contempt of Congress.
Yeah.
So that's him. I think
Alex Jones got acquitted. He's scot free. So is Roger Stone. They're good to go on this whole thing. And then Steve Bannon, I think that's more smoke and mirrors in my mind. You know what I mean?
Now you're talking about, because I didn't know that Stone's. I don't know. Oh no, here's Mark Meadows. Another one. Are you talking about as recent as that? Because I know Mark Meadows was held in contempt of Congress, although he already gave a whole bunch of stuff. So that's how I'm saying right now that they're going after his associates.
I could see that, but no, I don't think that there's so much going after them. I think that these are kind of more distractions, because have you heard of this Ray Epps character that they were real concerned about? He's a Fed. He was an informant, an agent provocateur. I can read something real quick for you here. This is from an article, the title of the article from, I don't know, Clarion, I guess it's called. Meet the Fed protected provocateur who shatters the January 6th Capitol breach narrative. So we start off here. In a House hearing on Thursday, Rep. Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky, questioned AG Merrick Garland about a mysterious man by the name of Ray Epps, who instructed protesters to enter the U.S. Capitol building on January 5th, and who later shepherded crowds towards the Capitol on January 6th. So this dude, there's footage of this Ray Epps, who is an informant protected by the FBI and all these other agencies, the Department of Defense, all these, you know, three-letter agencies. And this Ray Epps is trying to shove people into this thing. You can do a quick Google search probably and check him out. But this guy is very, very interesting. No charges brought on him, even though it is confirmed that Ray Epps did do some shady shit with the whole thing. This is one concrete case of a federally protected provocateur that was chauffeuring people in. And then, of course, you know, Angeli. You know, there's all kinds of crazy theories about him. He's the Q shaman, and people are saying like he's Nancy Pelosi's nephew and all kinds of crazy shit. You know, I don't know if I'd go that far, but he definitely, there's the weird videos of him, you know, where he's going in and shaking hands with the Capitol police there in the fucking Senate chambers. You know what I mean? And he's like, good job, boys, like all this shit. You know, it seems very shady. And so I think that, from where I stand, it would be foolish to say that there was no federal entrapment type situation going on here. Whether Trump was involved, whether Trump was trying to actually carry out an insurrection, because I don't know if you've heard lately, I am like completely against Trump and I'm completely against Biden. Like I say fuck them both. I think that they are two wings of the same bird, and it's gone. I was fooled. I will admit that I thought that Trump was this America first, and he's like trying to you know, help out the worker and all this stuff, even though he ran casinos and Miss USA pageants and or Miss Universe, whatever. But I mean, he's not, as far as we know, not doing the same shit like fucking his daughter like Joe Biden did. You know what I mean? So they're two evil dudes, obviously. And I think that I'm just curious. So let's wrap up this idea on the January 6th and then let's move on to February.
Well, yeah. So my idea is that they're not going after the main guy, but the congressional committee and the mainstream media are going after all of his cohorts. And I don't see a lot of functional difference from impeaching, from criminally investigating a president. If you've spent probably this is going to be a year or more worth of work for this congressional committee to investigate and then criminally prosecute all of his cohorts. Like, I don't see a functional difference in that. And the reason that people say the people in government will say, on Biden's committees mm-hmm. will say why you're not like, especially the Department of Justice, why you're not prosecuting Trump is because the narrative that we would build after a current president prosecutes a former president would make us look like more of a dictatorship. And again, because they're prosecuting not the president, the former president himself, but all of his cohorts, I think they're going to try to prosecute them. I would argue they are in the midst of prosecuting them with these levies of what's it called? When you don't give information to Congress,
they're withholding information. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. That is tantamount to the same thing. And so the way, you know, every main like contender for the president and every president has some big event to point to. The media has one big event that they can point to and say that this one event will poison their whole the future America's perspective on this person's presidency or run for the presidency. And this is just another way. This is what I would call tantamount to the Clinton Benghazi committee.
Yeah.
Or the probably what you might have said at the time, the Trump Russia connection committees.
Sure.
That's just the way that the media likes to work. They like to focus in on the media and the Congress like to focus in on one sharp issue. And I don't know if we're going to find too much more than we already know or can be easily surmised by just knowing who President Trump was.
We won't. Yeah. There won't be any new information. I don't think.
Right. So about his actions on the CIA. So it's not about getting new information from what it seems to me. It's about persecuting tangentially, you know, the former president. And that makes us look like more of a dictatorship and makes Biden look like a hypocrite when he goes to and speaks at the democracy, the International Democracy Council, you know.
Well, let me ask you that since you brought that up. Are you content with the way that Biden and Harris have been operating right now? Are you happy with it? I'm not comparing it to Trump. I'm just saying as a whole, because in my mind they are fucking things up left and right. Kamala Harris has a lower approval rating than Dick Cheney did at the end of their 8 years, and like no one liked Dick Cheney. Kamala Harris, I'd be very, very hard pressed to drag something out of you that would say that Kamala Harris has done right. She hasn't accomplished a darn thing. But I want to let you talk about that.
Well, yeah, one of the functions of me getting out of the podcast was not digging into each individual story as much as I would have if I were like contributing to an episode on the podcast. So I haven't seen much from Kamala Harris aside from the negative things, aside from her staffers resigning.
And the media is really playing into that too. So, I mean, like, what do you think about that? The media, like, it's very interesting that you see the media really going against the Biden administration as a whole because they were so pro Biden going into the 2020 election.
Right. I mean, well, that some of that is just a function of the media, you know, covering blood and gore. So any political failures they'll go to. That's kind of just in their DNA.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm surprised actually to hear you acknowledge that the media has been going after her and Biden hard, because there's been some really feeble attempts in the last few weeks to analyze the way that the media has covered Biden and then compare it to the way that they covered Trump, and some data analysis that someone published said that the media treats Biden worse than Trump.
Yeah, and that's obscene to say that.
You can actually go through the science of how they came to that conclusion. And one of my favorite podcasts, 538, they go into the science of polling and like data analysis on people's perspectives on political leaders like that. They can just like tell, like, he doesn't pass the smell test. Everyone acknowledges that the mainstream media is largely left wing. So I don't see them hitting Biden and Kamala as hard as they did Trump. So I'll just say that I think they're playing softball with them still. But I don't know if it's that they're playing into Harris's ineptitude or lack of progress on any fronts. I think that that's just a true reflection of what it's been so far. I mean,
Do you see I'm sorry to cut you off, but as a lefty, do you see the Biden administration as separate from the Harris administration at all?
So I don't think so. I don't know of too many actions that Harris has taken that would go against Biden's in any substantial way.
Well, yeah, she hasn't done anything. That's what I'm saying. It's mind-blowing the lack of action that she has taken as an individual, like, you know, as a vice president, not doing one thing, man, nothing. It's crazy. Right.
I mean, I'm always looking to compare it to someone else, to compare it to Pence.
Yeah, Pence, yeah.
I am one from the left who tries to find good things on the right that the right has done, and be just to challenge my own beliefs. And I can do that for Trump. It's not that I hated from the core of my heart Pence, but I can't think of one thing that he really led in either.
Well, he was in charge of the COVID. He was the COVID task force leader. And they were getting kind of misled the entire time, very clearly. I don't know if you've heard about the things that have been coming out about Fauci lately, which are mind blowing. I mean, the AIDS foster kids, which is tragic. Have you heard about that?
I haven't dug into the specific stories. I just know that the fervor, you know, my favorite word, the fervor is strong. So educate me, man.
Yeah. So there was a few things that came out. There was one thing that came out fairly early on this year about beagles. They were using sandworms or something, which are very violent parasites, and they were putting beagle puppies in little areas. They were sealing the puppies' heads in like an airtight sort of a vacuum plastic container, and putting these parasites in and allowing the parasites to eat the beagle puppies' faces while they were alive for some reason. And this is mainstream media confirmed this. You can do a quick Google search and you can find that it's 100%. This is no QAnon shit. Go ahead.
It's not beyond my, we have a lot of problems with the way that we treat. So no, this is not beyond the smell test here. I agree that he probably oversaw something like this. Yeah.
Well, and PETA was going at him for that. And just, I mean, they still fucking support him for some reason, because it's the left versus right. And that's a big problem in our country. And I thought that that's what this show did. You know, try to fight against that narrative very well, because you have a hardcore lefty and then someone that is, I consider myself more moderate, but you probably consider yourself pretty moderate too. So I think that's like me being more on the right, but seeing myself as moderate. That's like kind of like this whole, like, I don't know if you'd call it dichotomy or what of an individual. Like, you can, me being on the right, seeing you on the left, and you're like, oh dude, that guy's far fucking left. And then you being on the left, seeing me as far right. That's a separate conversation. But yeah, that's what's very interesting, is these organizations like PETA, which are typically very liberal, they tend to support the individuals that are supported by the left. So That was one thing, the whole thing with the Beagles, which is fucking sad on its own. But something even worse was in 2005, some studies came about with some AIDS treatments and medications that Fauci was testing on infants and kids that were in foster homes, babies and children infected with HIV. And he would give them these drugs that were clinically proven to cause defects and to cause other health issues, and gave them to these kids. They started getting sick and they died by like the hundreds. And supposedly they just took a small area and did like a mass grave for these children, just dumped them in. And that was the last that we heard about it until 2005. So, getting away from like remdesivir and AZT and all these other weird drugs that are proven to be very, very harmful that Fauci was involved with. I'm just curious if your support for Fauci has changed at all.
So again, my support of him is, this is going to sound so stupid to the listeners and to you, but my support of him is only drawn from my respect for authority of expertise. I don't know that there's some idea out there that Fauci is an idiot. I think it's mostly the idea that Fauci is a bad guy and will step over human, human rights,
dignity, health. I think he lines his pockets, because I'm sure that you know this, that his wife is very, very involved with Moderna. I believe she sits on the board of Moderna. So it's a problem when you have the highest paid government employee by a long stretch. And this guy is the deep state. He's a bureaucrat, right? A lot of people on the left say that deep state is like a hack term. But it's a real thing. This is not the people in the smoky boardrooms. This is people like Roger Stone. He's part of the deep state, too. And I was like a fan of him. I think that this guy will do what he can to progress his agenda and to line his pockets. He also owns a patent on cDNA, which is like morphed DNA. That's a long thing that I would have to look at notes that I took to actually talk about that with you. But he's just a very shady guy. And it's very interesting that the AIDS pandemic or the AIDS epidemic was fucking botched, and we still trust this guy. He had to kind of lay low for 20 years because of his mishaps with that, or 30 years, I guess.
Yeah. So because neither one of us will call him, stupid, because we both think he's plotting his way. Right. And has for a long time. He's like I think in your guys' mind, a bad actor with good skills. You know, he's able That's to throw fair. He's able to throw his weight around. But my reasoning on falling back on and looking for expertise is that the best way to garner favor, support, finances from the world is to do a good job at what you're doing. And I think that because you and I and the listeners are looking at completely different data sets about what the COVID, the entire COVID episode has looked like, mm-hmm. Different data that tell different stories about how bad it could have been, was, is, will be. We can't agree on whether we will never agree because we're looking at those different data sets. We'll never agree that Fauci was the best that we could get.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I could make that argument, but because of my reliance on expertise and money, paychecks that go along with that expertise, right? Like you imagine a perfect world where nobody had intentions. The person who was the most valuable to any business or government endeavor is the one ideally who will be the most competent at that and should be rewarded with high pay so that they don't go somewhere else. None of that argument will stick with you or the listeners, I surmise, because there's a total different, like there's a skepticism towards elite experts in the conspiracy theory world. And I'm down to stoke that flame. I really am. And I've just had my eyes opened to two more things that, you know, put a divot in my thought of, in my perception of Fauci. So I'm going to have to look these up to be honest.
But, yeah. Well, and that's good.
One succinct way to say it is that it wouldn't bother me if he was not the leader anymore of this push against COVID. It would not bother me at all. Is last thing that I'll note about him.
Yeah. So like if he got arrested or something, you wouldn't be like crying, you know?
I wouldn't, because I think there's probably I'm not saying he's the most competent in this, but whatever ranking he is of competency in this endeavor, there's someone right behind him who probably won't do too bad of a job. I mean, what a good job in response to our COVID to COVID, and what a bad job is between, you know, our two perspectives is going to vary, obviously, but he's going to be like kind of the same thing. You know,
I think if he were to get like arrested or if he were to pass away, which I never want anyone to pass away, like, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I wish this motherfucker would die or whatever. I'm never saying that about anybody, dude. I think that Biden has one foot on a banana peel and the other on a grave. And I don't want to see that dude pass away. Yeah, that's never good for the country when that happens. Right. But if Fauci were to pass away or to step down or get arrested, whoever would take his place, judging off of what we've seen this last year, it would be worse because, you know, like Jack Dorsey from Twitter just stepped down. And, you know, the guy taking his place doesn't believe in the First Amendment at all. He admitted that, like, live on air. And so that's terrifying. You know, the person in this virtual time square, or whatever you would call it, you know, the whatever, you know what I'm saying? The place where people get to fucking communicate.
Yeah.
You know, this guy in charge of this now is not a believer in the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And then you also have like everyone getting really excited when Andrew Cuomo stepped down. And for the record, I am very happy that the Cuomo brothers are out of business. That's phenomenal, because both of those greaseball garlic knots are pieces of shit. I'm so sick of seeing them. You know, this chick that took his place is going like Australian style tyranny over there in New York, like saying that, like, yeah, like your kids need to be vaccinated if they want to go to school and shit like that. I mean, it's insane. How do you feel about that? Your chick is a teacher. Do you guys believe that young children should be forced this experimental gene manipulation or gene therapy?
So I'll tell you a personal experience. I've got Tristan in the next room, who's 19, was 18, I guess, when the vaccine was available.
Yeah, rolled out, yeah.
And his dad is a huge anti-vaxxer, and Tristan is one as well. I find myself rationalizing to my girlfriend, his mom, about the fact that, you know, whatever decision Tristan makes to take or to not take this vaccine, which he hasn't taken it and actually derailed his career goals as a phlebotomist, because he went to school for it, but now they're requiring all places with federal funding to get the shot, or at least you won't be hired because.
So is his dad an anti-vaxxer or anti this shot? Because this is not a vaccine. Yeah. We've talked about this too.
Right. So I know that there's a difference in the way that you guys talk about, you know, anti-vaxxation there's a difference in the way that you guys talk about it than what we do. So in your perspective, he is not anti-vaccine. He is anti this vaccine. He's got all the others and he's fine with that. And so is Tristan. So he's only against this vaccine, I will say, and is obviously very pro Western medicine because he's trying to join it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it should be quote unquote forced. Upon him in that way. I'm anxious to see, because the Senate voted the other day to overturn Biden's OSHA requirements. Yeah, so I'm anxious to see, because he's going to veto that and it won't do anything.
Yeah,
but I'm anxious to see if they'll get two-thirds. I don't think that they will.
No, they can't do, because you know what? It's interesting that you bring that up, man, because we're heading into the 2022, the midterms, right? Yeah. It's fascinating to me that you see a lot of liberal leaders, liberal governors specifically, going against Biden's mandates right now, because there a lot of them are up for re-election, right? A lot of these representatives, a lot of different people that may be booted out if we believe that the election process is legit. A lot of these people are kind of changing up their tune because they don't want to look like totalitarians for right now. But it'll be very interesting after. I'm not sure when the midterms are. Are they in November too?
Yeah, it'll be throughout the latter months of 2022. Okay. A whole bunch of them, a smattering of them, are in November. There's some in the early year, and then obviously primary season will define a whole bunch of things too.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's what I think the narrative is right now for those lawmakers and governors right now too. It's we know the left is already talking about how bad we're going to get sloshed in 2022, and Bill Maher, who I still listen to every now and then, has some good points, even that you guys will recognize every now and then.
I think he's controlled opposition, dude. Him and Tulsi Gabbard. I actually want to talk to you about Tulsi Gabbard here after we're done with this point. But they're saying some very, very agreeable things to the conspiracy theorists.
Right, right. So even he was pointed out. He was pointing out the fact that it's crazy that liberals are so bad at winning elections. Like, we, instead of talking about how we can maybe win in 2022 or keep the majority in 2022, we're always already talking about how we're going to lose it. And we will lose it big time. This tends to happen after a president is elected. Is it 2 years later, the opposition in the Congress comes a roaring at him. So that makes sense. That storyline makes sense. And I don't think it's going to make one bit of a difference. I think it's, people are going to look at the economy at that time, and it's still going to be bad. And even though the numbers are saying that it's good, and the elite economists are saying that it should be fine, people, normal everyday people, just put a smile on your face. Daddy Biden is in charge. Yeah. They're going to look at the economy and as always ascribe agency to the president in charge and vote the opposite party. That's going to happen. But if you didn't have anything else on that one, man, I wanted to talk about cyber ninjas and how you thought about them, because that has been, there's been a trickle of information since that came out. But how did you guys look at cyber ninjas, the findings that they came out with, and the whole process?
Well, so I watched that whole thing, and don't let me forget about Tulsi Gabbard, because I want to talk about her too. The cyber ninja stuff, it was very interesting, because I ended up finding out Tucker Carlson was a big investor in cyber ninjas, allegedly. This is all alleged. Okay. But you got cyber ninjas backed by Tucker Carlson, Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com, who was really taking a proactive role in what was going on with the overturning of the election and all this shit. And General Flynn and his brother, who we cannot forget, was appointed by the left's messiah, Barack Obama, right? This is a guy that's a traitor, man. And this is something that I wouldn't have, if you would have told me this last year, I would have said, fuck you, man. Like, you're wrong about that dude being a traitor. Now, it's funny that if you're really awake to what's going on, you can see, like, with the paper trail that this dude, Flynn and his brother are really behind the sabotage of the Trump campaign. Whether Trump's a good president or not, I don't care. At this point, he's either stupid or he's an asshole, and I don't want either one of those in charge, right? I don't know which is worse, quite frankly. But with Byrne and with all these guys taking the roles that they did, and just completely duping the side. Marjorie Taylor Greene's another one, dude. Like, these people, if you're a politician supporting QAnon still, there's something fucking wrong, dude. I was kind of, I don't know if you remember, Brandon, I was kind of about QAnon. I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. But I wasn't like, oh, dude, this is fucking real. Like, Q said this. I was never like that. But I was like, okay, this is interesting. It's a cool idea. Maybe it's real. It seems legit. But there are people that were all in on it, and I get it. It's like the Bolshevik Revolution, that Operation Trust that the Bolsheviks did. But now, anyone that fucking even thinks that there is a shred of credibility to QAnon or these politicians that supported it, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, are fucking morons. Because, I mean, it's insane. It is insane that you have people that are still supporting QAnon right now after all of these things have come out to just not be true.
Well, let's ascribe malevolence instead of incompetence. Like I know that the conspiracy theory world likes to do, because that's a nice brain stretching practice for any skeptics like me listening. So that means that because they are Marjorie Taylor Greene, let's look at specifically, you think she is either incompetent or is so feeding into the, what is it? What were you calling Tulsi Gabbard?
Controlled opposition.
Controlled opposition. Do you think that that's what they're doing? Like they're trying?
Yes.
To make, yeah.
Yeah. Because she's a frequent guest on the Steve Bannon War Room podcast, and Steve Bannon, very involved with Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica is a fascinating thing to look into. I'm just starting to really dive deep into it. I've been familiar with them since the election, the first one. But really diving into them, they're shady as shit, and their involvement with Facebook and all these things. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, she owned a construction company before she got into politics. And you mentioned cyber ninjas earlier, and this is kind of what we're talking about right now. Karen Fan, I don't know if you recognize that name. She was in charge of the audit here in Maricopa, our big brother city up there in Phoenix, right? We're here in Tucson, greater Tucson area. I don't know if you're in Pima County, Brandon. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm in Pima County. Are you talking about the Arizona State Senator Fan? Like
Karen Fan. I don't know exactly what her position in government is, but I know that she was presiding over the audit. She was the one that was like saying, okay, we're going to do this forensic audit. Cyber ninjas are in charge, blah, blah, blah. She was the main head honcho of the audit. So she was the one single-handedly could overturn or not. She just needed the evidence to do it and so on. Karen Fan, her brother, owns a construction company that got a massive, massive state deal the day after the election was called in favor of Biden. You can look this up. I know it sounds crazy, but this is how the deep state works. This is why when people say the deep state's not real, early on, we got a negative review on the podcast saying the deep state's not real, you idiots. It is fucking real. Maybe you don't call it the deep state, but it's very real. But yeah, Karen Fan gets a, you know, her brother's company gets a massive deal, multi-billion-dollar deal, if I'm not mistaken, with the state of Arizona the day after this whole thing shakes out. We can call these coincidences, but I mean, dude.
Yeah. The honest lefties even, and this is not about political. The narrative that you said that the mainstream media is constantly trying to push the left and right, that's powerful. But anyone from any side can tell that political leaders are getting handouts from their closest industrial friends.
Yeah. Insider trading. Yeah.
Whether that be in real estate, technology, all this currency, especially. You just can't acknowledge. This is the mark. This is actually the way that Marx came up with thinking about institutions like the ones that you guys talk about on the Dangerous World podcast, that has fed into the conservatives' mindset that I am most interested in seeing when it pops up every now and then, is just acknowledging that the bourgeoisie, because the left just calls it the bourgeoisie, right? Mm-hmm. This that you're talking about. There's key important differences in reality, I think, but in the ways that we practically talk about them, they are one and the same.
And, oh, so the left calls the deep state the bourgeoisie.
I think that the deep state and the bourgeoisie has, in today's mainstream left and right perspectives, have come to represent everything that is wrong with our own society. It's a very Robin Hood what's it called? Like perfect world that a lot of mainstream lefties and righties are ascribing to get to. And calling I think the bourgeoisie is a very different group, but I think they functionally, in the way that the left talks about the society's problems, they are one in the same.
Can we call them the 1%?
Yeah. The bourgeoisie would be a little bit wider of a group. It would contain more people. It would contain even like the mom and pop store shop, managers or owners.
Thought leaders and things like that.
So, what was that?
Thought leaders and things like that. Pop culture icons.
Not just thought leaders, but also people who control the flow of capital. Gotcha. So that's not just the 1%. That's also anyone who owns a business to some extent is going on the venture of creating more capital, which is the root of what Marx thought was a capitalist was.
So
you just can't ignore that. I consider myself a moderate lefty, but a lefty nonetheless. They get into shady shit when they're together. But the narrative on Cyber Ninjas then is that it's wasn't going to be what you wanted anyways.
No, right. And they sold us on it. They sold, you know, the right or the conspiracy theorists or the people that thought that Trump won, we'll call them that. They sold us on the Cyber Ninjas being the optimal choice because they weren't involved with politics, right? They weren't involved with political audits. So we thought that was a good idea. We're like, oh yeah, these guys can't be tainted. There's no way. And then, you know, long after the fact, we realized like, yeah, absolutely. Just like, you know, Dr. Baden that did like all the famous autopsies. And it just happens to be like, yeah, there's some shady shit that goes on with these things. Yeah, man, I think that they did a great job selling these things. And it could have been some revenge taken because of the shady shit that Trump did in 2016 with Cambridge Analytica and with the help of Steve Bannon and some of these deep players, because he has some connections to the Russian mafia, but not the way that the Steele dossier was trying to lay out. The way that the left went about it leads me to believe that Trump was a chaos candidate. He was meant to be in for the time that he was meant to be in. And for the record, I think he's gone. And I think that the way that we're supposed to view Trump now is this guy that the one that got away. If you know, the gas prices were low, the economy was raging until Fauci and his fucking team released this pandemic. And then Biden gets in and he's like Jimmy Carter 2.0 interest rates. Like we're almost facing hyperinflation at this point. 7% month over month is insane. Your dollar day to day literally is getting you less than what it was yesterday. This is Jimmy Carter 2.0, like I said. So I think that Trump is meant to look like this president that got away. And before we get away from that, Tulsi Gabbard, dude, I really want to touch on this because she's acting really like a Republican or like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. What were you going to say?
Sorry. Real quick before we get into Tulsi, I was really going to remind you about her. But how about Lindell then? Is Lindell just one of that movement?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think he's a real carnival barker,
snake oil salesman. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think there's a part of him that like is legit believing that stuff. So I'm just wondering if you think that there are some people who are on the quote unquote good side still thinking that is what happened, that the election was stolen and
man,
but
anyway, yeah, every part of me wants to believe that Mike Lindell's a good guy because I like the guy's personality. I actually really enjoy the way that he talks. He seems like just like your goofy uncle that fucking like hit the lottery, you know what I mean? He doesn't seem like a CEO to me. I want to love that guy, honestly. He seems like what Biden tries to be. Biden tries to be like this like loving old man, but it just comes off creepy when he's whispering to 6-year-old kids that he'll show him around the White House live in a fucking press conference. That's creepy as shit. But like Lindell is like this nurturing, very sweet seeming man. But is he on the wrong side of history? I don't know. I really don't know yet. I tend to believe that he's probably got some kind of deal going. But at the same time, he has lost a lot of revenue and these guys operate off that. But then again, when these multi-billion dollar stimulus packages come out, I wonder who's getting paid. Who's getting a chunk of this money? Did Lindell just get like under the table some serious cash? Did Trump get some money? Did his family get some money to go away and to just kind of, I mean, Trump is pushing the vaccines hard. And, yeah. You know, Dr. Robert Malone, the guy that fucking invented the mRNA technology, he seems very interesting, too. He's a Trump supporter, America First type dude, and he created the technology for the vaccines. Yet he's sitting here and he's saying, these aren't good for you. You know what I mean? It's like, why the fuck did you create them then? You got him. You got Peter Navarro, Dr. Peter Navarro as well, doing the same thing. They were the ones that were behind Operation Warp Speed, allegedly, the faces of it, at least. And you have them sitting there saying like, no, we can't force people to take these. These things are dangerous. They're death shots is what they call them. The people that fucking created them. So what does that mean? I mean, what is that? You know, there's a deep, deep 3D chess thing going on here. This is what the QAnon people thought Trump was doing.
So it must be with the kinds of things that I'm seeing just now that Tulsi Gabbard has been saying over the past few months too, because yeah, you're talking about planned opposition. I know that Bill Maher has got to be one in there, like we talked about earlier. And yeah. Tulsi Gabbard, I remember even Ron talking about the fact that he liked Tulsi, as attracted to her as I am.
Me too, buddy.
That's the feminist in me speaking. I really like that Cruella De Vil look that she had going with that gray streak. So. She's saying last month, you know, to Democrats, stop trying to divide us. And I'm assuming this is her talking about the phenomenon of cancel culture and virtue signaling and all the such. So how do you get to the idea that she is
controlled opposition?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I just, that's strange to me, because that kind of seems like exactly the thing that you would want to hear. Is it just the problem that's coming from the left? Well, yeah.
I'll explain. So Biden did the same thing. I actually posted on the Instagram today. Biden said, we could get along really well if the Trump supporters just stopped voicing their opinions, essentially is what he said. You know, he was like, if the Trump supporters would just stop pushing these theories, we could get along. It's like, dude, people, that's the whole part about free speech is everyone likes it if it's there, if it's the thing that they want. If it's going against their speech, it's anti-free speech. That's a different topic for another day. But the way that I think that Tulsi is being set up to be controlled opposition, I don't know if she is quite yet, but my theory is that she'll run as an independent candidate in 2024, potentially, or 2028 or 2032 or whenever. If my numbers are right. So she'll run out as a third party. And what she'll do, she's not going to split the Democratic vote, dude. She'll split the Republican vote. And that will make the Democratic candidate walk the fuck in. So you'll have, let's just hypothetical here. You got like Michelle Obama running, Tulsi Gabbard running, and Ron DeSantis running in 2024. Kamala Harris, I don't think will ever be president, quite frankly. I really don't see that. If she is, it'll be the shortest presidential term ever, because I honestly think that she'll get out. She faked being black to get into the position where she is, which is very, very racist. You know, this side is all about anti-racism, but I mean, faking your religion. And you see that a lot from those hyper progressives, you know, fucking who was that lady that said she was Indian or Native American? You know, the old white lady that was like probably 170,000th Cherokee. Yeah. So you see that a lot, you know. So I got a little sidetracked there. But yeah, I think that Tulsi is being set up to be this independent candidate that will split the Republican vote.
What about people like Kyrsten Sinema, you know, our own state senator, bipartisan and bisexual? You know, what are you thinking about her?
Isn't she a Democrat?
She is a Democrat, but she has been along with the senator from, what was it, Virginia?
Yeah, Manchin. She's going against the mainstream.
Yeah, who's getting it. And I know that I'm quite sure that in your guys' narrative is that the opposition that they are putting up to the Biden approved Build Back Better plan bill is fake. So is our Kyrgyzstan cinema also part of that narrative that Tulsi is?
I would say so, dude, because you know what Doug Ducey, you know, like what made him his money? Are you familiar with his story?
Coldstone, right?
Coldstone, his business was about to go under until he started buddying up with China. And he's in charge of the governors of America, if I'm not mistaken. That's the title of it. Yeah. And he was saying like, yeah, everyone should be excited to do business with China. You know what I mean? I mean, he admits talking with them like, yeah, China's done great things for my company. And his Coldstone was about to be done. You know what I mean? Before we even knew Doug Ducey's name, Coldstone was about to not even be a thing. It was just a tiny little thing, I think, coming out of Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken. And then it blows up and it's all around the fucking country now. So, very, very shady, business dealings with him. You know, I don't know. I think doing business with China is probably the good move if you're trying to make money, but it can't be a good move for the long term when it comes to the United States, dude. I mean, that was one thing that I will still say that Trump was pushing that was good is bring factories here. It was kind of weird when he talked about bringing that one factory. I forget the name off the top of my head, but the one where people were jumping out of the buildings in China. Do you remember that?
Foxconn.
Yeah. Foxconn. He's like, Foxconn's coming back. And it's like, Isn't this the fucking company where people are literally killing themselves because they can't leave? It's like, yeah, it's a good thing. You know, it's like, what the fuck are we talking about? So believe me, dude, I see the hypocrisy on both sides. I tend to agree that we should say America first. I will never shy away from that.
So America first, I wonder how that factors into your retrospect on Afghanistan then, because
Let's talk about that. So that was something we skipped over a few things. We should do this month by month real quick. We could speed this up a little. We were on January. We kind of jumped all over the month. The biggest thing I remember coming out of February was the Texas winter storm. I don't know if you remember anything substantial. I'm just looking on Wikipedia here. I had some things on Instagram that I had noted too, but the United States rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. You know, there was a few things, nothing too significant other than that massive winter storm in Texas. Which seemed like, you know, there was something shady about that. Very interesting because, you know, the Texas power people, I don't know what the fuck the board was called there, but they were saying like, hey, we need some extra permission here to kind of crank up the old generators, so to speak. And they were like, no, you're not fucking doing that. We got to worry about the climate change. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, these people are going to die. And people did. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but I will move into March if not.
Well, just that Marjorie Taylor Greene was persecuted in mainstream media for calling out the same Jewish space lasers that we did on our episode.
Yeah. Yes, she was. And that was also with the fires in California.
Right. So because I thought I didn't look around, but because I thought that the conspiracy theory weather control people must have been having a field day after these tornadoes that tore through the middle of the country just recently. It just brought up memories of that. But is this? I'm assuming Marjorie Taylor Greene puts out some good ideas to gain legitimacy with the right who flock to her. Is that the concept there? Because if you're saying that she's playing opposition, I'm assuming you don't. You don't disbelieve everything that comes out of her mouth, including something that we talked about on this podcast. But no, that's all that I wanted to bring up in the listeners' minds. You know?
Well, no, I think that she says some things that are correct as far as like, yeah, we need to. I actually believe that we need to arrest Fauci, at least hold a serious court case. I don't think that he's going to spend a day behind bars, but in like a perfect world or a sane world, I would say, the same world for the record that Trump wouldn't even have to have ran in the first place. Our system was very broken, and that's why Trump won. I will admit that. I thought that he did a decent job. I just don't know if he left us off better or worse, because I don't think that he was in charge of the pandemic at all. because he was actually saying, like, let's close down the borders. Let's fucking shut ourselves down early. And everyone called him racist. And now it's kind of flip-flopped. Yeah, she says some things that are good, but she's not fucking acting on any of them, dude. She's not acting on anything. She's part of that. I think she's part of some committee, the America First Committee, with Congress. Matt Gaetz is another one. He said something I don't know if you were part of the show when he did this, but I brought it up a couple times. He was talking about a book from, I think, Bob Woodward that was talking all this shit about Trump, and he's holding it up to Fauci. Fauci's being grilled supposedly by Congress, and Matt Gaetz is holding up a book talking shit about the book, meanwhile giving the book a goddamn advertisement. Everyone, there's millions of eyes on that book.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there holding it up and he's like, you're talking in this book about this. You had time to talk about this book. And he's like literally mentioning the name of the damn book over and over again. It's like people don't see these things. Like, that is a great advertisement to any leftist that hates Trump to go and buy that book, you know. And I don't know if it's intentional. I have a feeling that it is. But yeah, dude, it's fascinating. So yeah, long way to answer. I think that she's full of shit, but in order to play the game, they have to say some things that will line up with their constituents, or so to speak.
Right. That makes sense. I gotcha.
I don't know. Yeah, that was a long answer. But March, I'm not seeing anything too significant here in March, other than the Pope meeting with the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani in Najaf, Iraq. I hope I pronounced that right for the one listener out in Iraq. Yeah, man, just North Korea severs diplomatic ties with Malaysia. Not a whole lot that I saw. April, anything sticking out in your mind in April?
Is Afghanistan April or is that later?
I think that was July.
Oh, that's true. No, not April. Let's see. What do you got?
I'm just going through here. I'm trying to kind of, we're doing live research here. We could have probably done some research on this, but why would we do that? That doesn't make any sense. Raul Castro resigns from the first secretary of the Cuban Communist Party. Any more than 62 years of rule by the Castro brothers. That's pretty significant because I know that there was some chaos going on in Cuba. That was back in April. SpaceX launches their Crew 2 mission carrying four crew members, of Expedition 65 and 66 International Space Station aboard Crew Dragon, you know, whatever.
That there's a whole series of the billionaires being launched into space. I know Mike Strahan just went up on Blue Origin the other day too.
Is that the Dick Rocket?
Yeah, dude. I was just looking at it. I had no input either, and I just, the first thing I say to my girlfriend is, dude, this is phallic as fuck. This Dick Rocket that they're sending up, it's funny that other people,
yeah, where are the feminists there? They're fucking, that's perpetuating the patriarchy. Hardcore.
Bill Burr has a great bit about it. It's like, yeah, you know how feminists argue about the fact that rockets, they're, of course, they're penis shaped, right? It was like, it doesn't really, aerodynamically, it doesn't really make them make sense if they were going to be shaped like cunts, you know, like they wouldn't be able to far enough, fast enough. So.
He's one of the greatest, dude. While I'm looking here, who are some of your favorite comedians of all time?
I saw Doug Stanhope this year, man, who he was right there in Phoenix, who lives in Bisbee. I remember living in your house and just watching his specials.
Yeah, Beer Hall Push.
Yeah, yes, repeatedly. A Beer Hall Push, and then the other one where he was running for Libertarian, in the Libertarian race for president as well. So he's fucking great, man. We Joey Diaz, my favorite storyteller, not necessarily my favorite comedian, but his stories are just great.
That's his gig. Yeah, storytelling.
Yeah. And then yeah, I've done my stint with all of the former like Death Squad guys, so like Joe Rogan and all of his cohorts. I've seen Tom Segura a couple of years ago, I think. And but Doug Stanhope, and if we're going classics, George Carlin for sure. All people who like to rage against the machine, that fit my teenage angst for sure, man. You're still up on Tim Dillon,
dude. Yeah, I think I don't know if you've given him like a serious chance, but if you like those cynical comics like Bill Hicks, I mean, Bill Hicks isn't terribly funny, but yeah, he's got that comedy that makes you think. in my mind, dude, Tim Dillon's the greatest comedian alive. Like, in my opinion, I'm not going to say he's the greatest of all time. That would just be stupid. I think like George Carlin, you have some phenomenally funny people that have passed on. But Dave Chappelle is obviously hilarious. But I feel like right now what he's doing is just saying the shit that everyone else is too afraid to say just for the sake of saying it. And it kills because no one else will say it. But as far as funny goes, dude, yeah, I listen to his fucking show every day, and I'm a Patreon subscriber for him. And there's some episodes that are so funny that just because the shit that he's saying, but then there's some episodes where he's talking about where it makes you want to cry because he's talking about like real shit. And it's like, holy shit. Like, I don't know if you know his story, but his mom's a schizophrenic and she's in an insane asylum. And shit like it. And he's like, he talks shit about his mom because he's like, yeah, she's already dead to me. Like, you have to make peace with these people before they die. You know what I mean? And like, he'll say some shit. It just makes you fucking think. And it's like, holy shit. But then he'll say stuff that makes you like cry laugh too. And like, he's brilliant, dude. And yeah, I feel like I'm always like on his dick because I mention him pretty often, but yeah, dude, he's the greatest in my opinion.
His I've seen him do his real estate salesman pitch on multiple podcasts I got when he was appearing as a guest, because he used to be a real estate agent and would just sell people. Well, no, it was what does he say?
He says sold mortgages,
sold subprime mortgages.
Yeah,
because he believes in the American people more than the U.S. government does. Yeah, there's something that's so real. Like, we talk about the, you know, the grind. Like, Alex Jones is so much of a carnival barker, mm-hmm. but he's so far past it. And Tim Dillon, I feel like, lets you in and lets you see what somebody like that really thinks, because he brings up on the Your Mom's Helps podcast the fact that one of his biggest problems is just lying about countries he's been to, you know, saying that he's met people that he's never met. I love how honest he is, man. That's been the best thing about all of the comedians that I've looked up to. By the way, Doug Stanhope, when I went to see him earlier, just a few months ago, one of the best jokes that he reeled into, but he just asked, you know, everybody that's here, COVID or 9/11, which one was your favorite? Like, which one? Like, COVID obviously didn't have the videos of people jumping to their deaths like 9/11 had, which made it interesting. But it was just the whole room was just like, oh, dude.
Yeah, like the groaning comics. Like, those are the things that I think's funny. Like, like I said, Chappelle says these things that are so offensive to so many people. I think it's hilarious.
I've never heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's great. But like, yeah, those dark comedians where it's like, should I laugh at this? Like, if you're in a crowded room, you're like, should I laugh at this? Those are the best jokes to me.
So good. So good.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just talking about the script that we're running on here. If you want to jump to another big story, I got Afghanistan if you were trying to wrap up. But other than that, we can go month by month here. What else you got?
Yeah, I'm skipping forward, man, because I wanted to try and hit the big things. That blue whatever origin shit, it took off in June, if I'm not mistaken, June or July. That was the first one to do it. Yeah, so here in July on the 19th. Successfully conducts the first human test flight with reusable New Shepard rocket, which is a creepy fucking name too, New Shepard. If we're gonna talk about biblical shit. And then yeah, all the stuff with Afghanistan went down in August, late August. So August 26, 2021, Kabul airport attack. At least 182 people are killed, including 13 U.S. service members in a suicide bomb attack at Kabul airport. 27th, the United States launches an airstrike, killing Islamic State member who is believed to have planned a Kabul airport bombings. Now, if we're going to actually go back and really talk about what that was, they didn't kill anyone from the Islamic State. So Wikipedia is confirmed, controlled opposition here. Speaking of that, they killed a family and, no real apologies for that. I think that, that fucking, what's his name? Millie just kind of came out and was like, yeah, sorry, it happens. You know, sometimes you bomb the wrong wedding. So I don't know, kind of shitty. Hurricane Ida in Louisiana. Yeah, August was a rough month, dude. What were your thoughts on the Afghan pullout? Because I thought it was pretty sloppy. But let's hear your thoughts.
Yeah, always looking to compare. I would love a listener to hit me up at the Dangerous Gent on Instagram to show me examples of pullouts from war zones that have gone off without such hitches. And that, even still, if there was a massive casualty event at the end of every single war, wouldn't make me wouldn't make me any less sad still about the fact that it was such a skirmish there at the end. I blame it on incompetence, and I also don't play Monday morning quarterback. You know, I don't know what would have happened, what could have gone better. My overall narrative about that issue, though, is still thinking about the times where we were in Afghanistan and talking to ourselves about all the reasons that we should get out. And so no one was happy with the way that that the pullout happened. But as sad as it is, God damn, it's hard to be a feminist and support these ideas. I know, but it's hard to see people, you know, kids being sold into marriage there under in a Taliban run state. And they're doing a pretty good job, by the way. They're getting a lot of people behind them, and they'll gain international notoriety at some point here. But it's sad to see all that happen, man. But is still overridden by my thoughts that we didn't need to be there, man. We didn't need to be there. And it's the place of non-governmental organizations, especially the international ones, who are the scariest to the conspiracy theory world, that we should empower along with direct foreign aid that would help us out of that situation to make that one better. Because both sides acknowledge that now we have a safe haven for more terrorists, for the planning of more terrorist attacks, which we will have one. It's about time. So,
well, it will happen because of the approval ratings of the presidency, man. This is what happened with the Bush administration. And I know some people are more skeptical about false flags and things like this, but I think if you go back and you look at these major events, whether it's the Boston bombing, those kids are confirmed FBI associates. With the whole, even if you believe the mainstream media narrative with 9/11, Saudi Arabians attacking us, and we go into Afghanistan, Iraq, and all those other countries, every other country essentially over there, other than fucking Saudi Arabia, and we still are close friends with them, doesn't make sense. And I love the fact that a lot of people are blaming Biden for the whole thing. The other side's blaming Trump for being there. Who's blaming Bush? Who's blaming George W. Bush? Because that's the reason that the fucking people were there in the first place. So all that aside, I will say that it's piss poor pullout on Biden's part, leaving all that equipment there. There was billions of dollars of equipment that was left there. And it's not the fact that the Afghani military will have that or whatever, the tribes there. They're shipping that shit to China. China now has control of the lithium that's over there in Afghanistan. If not China, then Russia. But I would say China, because they have more dick to sling around, even though they got tiny wieners. You know, there's something very interesting about that whole dynamic, man. It's almost like it was set up because Biden has a significant stake in a Chinese lithium mine. The Biden family does, that is. And I forget the name off the top of my head, but you could probably do a quick Google search and confirm that, or DuckDuckGo, and find that the lithium mine that Biden is a stakeholder in. I think that has something to do with it. You also have Ukraine and Russia going at it like they always do. But, you know, we're not going to intervene with that as a country, because, you know, Ukraine has Hunter in their pocket. And I believe that China and Russia have Biden, the big guy, as they say, in their pocket. So it's interesting, man. I think that, you know, dude, I don't know if you remember when we started this, man. I used to kind of make fun of preppers. I thought that prepping was retarded. I was like, dude. People that, like, because I remember the Doomsday Prepper show, and I remember this fucking stupid idiot, this fat fuck. And it's like, dude, you know, you think that if, like, things go down like primal levels, like, you're not going to need to run and be in shape. And this guy's like obese, first of all. And he shoots off his finger because he didn't like make sure that his gun was cleared, blows his thumb off, and then faints. It's like, okay, first of all, you shot your thumb, which is stupid. And second of all, you see a little blood and you lose a digit, not even a limb, and you're going to pass out. How are you prepared for the apocalypse if you can't see blood or lose a thumb? You know what I mean? So like that was kind of like my introduction to prepping. But I'm a big proponent of prepping now. I think that it's very logical to have some, like quite a bit of extra food and some water and bullets or whatever you may need. I'm not saying I do it, but I'm saying that it's not the worst move to make.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of instances like that where the practitioners and the practice don't quite line up, especially when they're put on like TLC shows, you know, for like looking at these quote unquote crazy ass preppers, these people who think that the doomsday is coming. Meanwhile, there are people like the 1% who have like bunkers already bought and paid for, you know, like they're the preppers because they have the capital to invest in that. We just don't make fun of them because it's not as good television. So no. This comes from that interesting bit of time right when COVID struck, where the right was rushing to be more concerned about COVID than I think the skeptics were, not necessarily the left, but the skeptics were. So from that time, I think there's a little bit of momentum from that time where even the right was afraid of COVID, and then they stopped being afraid of COVID, but now think that the deep state is going to be the trigger for the legit end of days scenario. So I can still see the validity of stocking up on water and food, man. There's not a very good skeptic in the world would second guess you on that. So
yeah, dude. Let's we could obviously do this for probably hours, man, and we'll have to do this more. It's been too long since you've been on the show. I'm scrolling through Wikipedia looking at the deaths, the high profile deaths. Don't want to get into those, but yeah, man, we can do this again before the end of the year. I need to get off here soon because I'm about to chat for the Patreon portion of this episode. Going to talk about this weird football player death. I don't know if you heard about that.
Football player death. No, that's either for next episode or for your Patreon there, man. But yeah, if you got to wrap up, let's wrap it up, man. It was a long year. It was hard to remember all the shit that went down.
Yeah.
But we will touch base more frequently as we go forward. Lastly, I just can I dispel anyone who still thinks there was a falling out? That's silly. Ryan and I are in contact. Good friends and good family members. Thanks for having me on, man. Still love you. Still missing you. I'm so thankful that you were able to carry this project on, man. And
yeah, dude.
Good luck. Happy holidays, everybody. Because I doubt it'll be before the end of the year that we get to speak with the audience at least. But happy holidays, everybody. And thanks for having me along on this ride. It was really 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 fun, Ryan.
Well, and thanks for making the time for this evening, man. And yeah, I just wanted to shoot this to you. And then for the listeners that made it to this point that are going to go over to Patreon, this guy that passed away is a Denver Broncos player, Demaryius Thomas. Denver Broncos, which I know that you were a Denver Bronco fan for quite some time as a kid. And this dude died at 33 years old. Very interesting. And his mother was pardoned from Barack Obama for a sentence. Her sentence was shortened. So it's very interesting that this dude dies. There's a lot of weird symbolism behind this. And I'm getting on the best dude that I know when it comes to like pop culture and sports symbolism like this. Jason, you guys might know him as Colorado Dank, but he will be coming on talking about this. We're going to break it down for about 30 minutes and it's fascinating stuff. But yeah, guys, Brandon will be back for sure. And we're going to do this more often. Haven't talked for a couple of weeks here, but you know, we'll make sure that we make this happen more often. And I think that people do enjoy listening to what you have to say. And I think it's helpful, dude, if people don't agree with what someone is saying, they can present it in a good fashion, like I think you do. It is helpful, at least in arguments or healthy conversation, like more people need to have. Debates are good. This is how you find out if your ideas are wrong or not. May take a little bit of time, but you will learn that you know, this is the best way that our country as a whole can, I think, recover if we can fucking just have some damn conversations with people that we don't agree with. But yeah, Brandon, thanks again. Do you want to plug anything that you're doing at all, or
living the beautiful life? Everybody subscribe to it and pay for it, guys. So nothing of substantive monetary value to plug here. You can guys get at me on Instagram at Dangerous Gent, mostly just DMs there. I don't put up any content there, but if you guys want to reach out to me, I always love hearing your guys' messages and reminiscing and stuff like that. I still text a lot with the Joe and what's her name, what podcast am I thinking of?
Legit Bat.
Yeah. Still text with them quite a bit. Ron reaches out every now and then. So, yeah, guys, hit me up there. Thanks for having me.
Good. And yeah, guys, for the portion about this interesting little football case, head on over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast and make sure you subscribe there. It's fucking $3, you loser. You can fucking do that. So let's see you over there and have a good rest of your night, your week, and the short portion of the year that we have left, guys. Stay safe, but more importantly, have fun, guys. We'll see you over there at Patreon.